here at City Hall. First item on the agenda, would the clerk please confirm the roll?
All council members are present, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. And we'll now move to the flag salute. Mr. Elwood, I think it's your turn.
Thank you all three of you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Appreciate that. First on tonight's agenda is the consent agenda. I understand we have a motion. Mr. Rosen?
Yes, I'd like to pull AB23-039 and put that on the regular council agenda.
That is council as item 4 in the consent agenda packet. Any objections? That item is now removed from the consent agenda. It will become item number 11 following the rest of the regular agenda on the main agenda. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
With that change, do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Gahan, second by Ms. Miller. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. It is unanimous. Thank you very much. Citizen comments. At this time, if you are a member of the public, either here in council chambers or online, and would like to address council on any item not on tonight's agenda, please come forward to the podium if you're here in chambers, or indicate in the chat box or by star 9 if you are online, and we'll call upon you. We start here in chambers. So I'm scanning the crowd, looking to see if anyone's leaping to their feet. Seeing no one, Bree, we have anyone online?
Thank you, Michael Thomas.
Okay. Michael, you know the procedure. Start with your name on the record and 3 minutes. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I think council members. Michael Thomas, 1231 before it started this. Thanks for the opportunity to speak tonight, and no doubt many of us in the city and nearby have noted the recent developments between the City of North Bend and the Sewall Water Association regarding the proposed draft contract, which of course is of great interest and concern considering my history on water. I would like to though take a moment though to thank the Muckleshoot, Yakima, and Tulalip tribes for their testimony against Senate Bill 5517 that really would have harmed the river and many water interests. It was very interesting, and I would encourage citizens to listen to the mayor's testimony regarding the city's difficulty in realizing additional mitigation sources. For example, the city purchased the Cascades golf course in hopes of using it as mitigation water, which the Foster decision actually prevents. And the city testified to that fact that it was unable to realize, the Cascade golf course water. This is a great concern, reading the city's 2020 water system plan, Annex U, where the city relied on Cascade golf course water for its mitigation plan. It would appear that the city is now short. The city, if I recall, required 1.212 feet per second. And without the mitigation of the golf course water, it would only, and its minimum assumptions have 1 cubic feet per second. So this is a grave concern. And where this intersects with the contract is, and citizens are due, is where does this leave for additional mitigation water? Is the wall it? Is that all that's ever going to be available to the city for mitigation to really supply its users with the backup source that the protest has already always required? It concerns me the difference between the amount of mitigation water and the protested ROE, and its most conservative forecast that that it was to exhaust 16 years by the rates of water available. Every citizens in our area, both the city of North Bend and Slaw, are owed a substantial revisit to all the engineering and planning. How much water does the city of North Bend have left? Or how many units ERUs can be supported in the existing system? How much growth is available? And certainly on the Slaw side, how much growth is enabled? You know, is 100 acre feet enough? Is the pumping capacity of 700 GPM or lower sufficient to meet the needs? And again, I feel it's very premature to approve this contract without a revisit to this engineering and really an open revisit to bring that forward. And I would ask the council and city engineers and other people to really think about that with tremendous prudence. Because in the past, some neighbors have suffered tremendously as the result of, you know, missing planning.
Michael, do you need to summarize?
Thank you very much, and I would hope that you folks would, you know, focus this with great due diligence and revisit the engineering to create here because we suffered so badly with poor engineering. Thank you very much.
Great, anyone else?
No one else.
All right, thank you. And with that, we will move on to announcements, presentations, and appointments. And I got to tell you, I'm pretty stoked tonight. So, council and citizens here, along with staff, it is my distinct honor to speak tonight, to you tonight, about one of the Valley's finest citizens, and just a great all-around person that I've had the pleasure to know. In a few moments, I'll tell you a little bit about how Ron Crouch has been a fixture in our town and integral to the success of both the Tollgate and the Meadowbrook Farm. But first, I need to share with you that on a personal basis, he is also one of those Valley leaders who welcomed me into the community and got me involved in service to this community. He also, when he learned that I had bought a farm, sold me my first cow and calf at what I found out some years later was a very favorable price. Took a hit. And let me tell you, my dear Annabelle, as my girls named her, was a great cow, and she went on to have 10 more calves at least before I moved her to a new farm, allowing somebody else to take her under their wing. She never missed a year. She provided me great joy, with the exception of the occasional breakouts from the pastor. Through it all, Ron was there to help me, to educate me, and at times to even step in and take over when I needed guidance on raising cattle in our valley. Just 93 years young, he is still one of my best friends and advisors. And he did the same for so many others here. Ron managed cattle at Tollgate Farm for over 50 years, helping to continue the history and the heritage of local agriculture within the Snoqualmie Valley, important to North Bend's character and identity. Mentored multiple new farmers, as I mentioned, including myself, assisting them in learning how to raise and develop better animals through better breeding and nutrition. Ron has served on the Meadowbrook Farm Preservation Association since 2005, providing valuable support and input to Meadowbrook Farm's management, operation, and planning. Beyond that, he mowed the fields at Meadowbrook Farm with his own tractor, mower, and fuel for many, many years, not billing the Farm Preservation Association for his time or gas, and he conducted multiple repairs to the Meadowbrook Farm tractors and mowing equipment to boot. That's volunteering and then some. He also continued regular mowing and maintenance of the fields at the Tollgate Farm for the city of North Bend from the time it was acquired by the city in 2001 until just a few years ago. And just for good measure, outside of farming, Ron volunteered on the credit committee of our local homegrown credit union, the Snow Falls Credit Union, and he did that for over 4 years. Two remarks that came in when I let some folks know that we wanted to honor Ron tonight. According to Dave Batty, anyone not knowing Dave, picture him, he is a Valley historian. According to Dave, Ron's mechanical knowledge is amazing. Ron can fix anything mechanical. He was the manager of the millwrights at the Snoqualmie Falls Weyerhaeuser Mill. The millwrights kept the mill humming, even though much of the equipment was built around World War I. You could not purchase many of the mill parts as they were worn out, so you had to rebuild them. Very few people today have the talent with equipment and farming that Ron so freely shared with us. And finally, to my dear friend Janice Crouch, his main passion during his farming time was to help preserve Tollgate Farm. His love of the land and cattle took most of his time, either raising cattle or making hay. He did a significant amount of hay and baling for himself, as well as many others in the area. He spent the better part of his life here farming both the Meadowbrook and the Tollgate. It was a life well spent, and he loved it. Once a farmer, always a farmer. Now, considering that she's been second fiddle to his farming passion for 9+ decades, she still stayed with him. With that, I'm going to go a little off script here and say I see some folks in the audience. If there's anyone in the audience that wanted to step to the podium and say anything about Ron, I'm going to allow that, and then I'm going to invite Ron up himself. Don't feel the pressure, but seeing some folks, I wanted to make that available. All right, Ron. I really appreciate you stepping forward, and remember, Janice has to let him know because he's not really here. If you'd step forward to the podium, if say a few words, we'd really appreciate that.
So, Rob, I got one question. I don't know if I followed you sitting on that thing.
No comment.
I thought it was great.
That also had that picture was taken the year he went, if I remember right, was the year he went on to Meadowbrook Foundation board. And my understanding is that he and I joined the board at the same time, although it didn't seem right. It seemed to me he was there along before me.
You can speak.
I'll let you know that Ron didn't want to speak at all, and I'm forcing this.
You calling yourself up,
I wish to thank you for acknowledging all the many, many years that the opportunity to farm the valley from Snoqualmie to North Bend on both my early time at Meadowbrook and close to 60 years that I spent on Tollgate. Now this is so important to me because I see that Meadowbrook with Mary Norton and Tollgate with Travis are being well taken care of. Tollgate is being well farmed, and these are so important that I can see in the future, and they will mean so much to the people of the valley and the people of North Bend. I've been very fortunate to have been married to the same beautiful woman for a couple months short of 65 years, and we've lived in the same house in North Bend for 65 years. And we've lived here because the people are so very, very good, and we have so many great friends and great neighbors. And I wish to say thank you and thank you to all of you.
This says, presented to Ron Crouch on behalf of the elected officials, staff, and citizens of North Bend, Washington, in recognition of his lifetime commitment to the preservation of local agriculture and open spaces in the Snoqualmie Valley through his work at Meadowbrook Farm, Tollgate Farm, and tenure on the Meadowbrook Farm Preservation Association Board. This day, April 4th, 2023.
I am going to just leave like that. You're what a beautiful facility.
Thank you. Especially as you got a flavor of Ron, as a unique and wonderful person, and I'm really thrilled that we were able to do that for him. As I mentioned, he was telling me he didn't want to say a word, and I said, you have to get up, and he said, well, I'm just going to say thank you. We got a little more than that, didn't we? And it was an important word. So, appreciate that. Well, with that, we'll move on to the main agenda. Item number 9 on your agenda is AB 23-043. This is a motion authorizing a contract for solid waste and recycling services. Mr. Rios.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. Page 91 of your packets. This is about solid waste. So solid waste includes, of course, garbage, recyclables, and compostables. And we've had a contract the last 10 to 15 years with Republic, the previous 15 years that's out of waste. And we look forward to next, hopefully, 12 years with Recology. I have Jeanette Jurgensen with us tonight on Zoom. We don't have Jeff Brown. He's traveling tonight. There are consultants that have been helping us out for the past year on this contract. Recology and Republic were the two highest scoring companies. Their rates are pretty similar. Staff feels good about the qualitative services that Recology can provide the residents and city staff with for the next contract. So, staff recommendations to move forward with this contract with Recology, and that concludes my presentation.
Thank you very much. Council, any clarifying questions for Mr. Rios before we go to public comment?
Yes.
Mr. Rosen.
A couple quick questions. Mark, I guess you'll be it. In the agenda item here on page 93, it talks about the 7.5% administrative fees being used for pavement overlay. Questions along those lines. First is, have we set up a special account and have we set up a policy to direct those funds to pavement overlay? And that is so future councils and administration can understand the intent of the where those funds are to be spent.
Yeah, I think we should formalize that into a policy.
Okay, because I see it's in here and I don't recall council passing that policy, but I think it is something that most councils seem to be supportive of. If that is the intent, I would like to see us bring that forward in the very near future so that we can codify that and future individuals, be it on the council side or the administration or staff side, can understand the intent and desire to spend those funds on pavement. All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else clarifying? All right. If you're a member of the public and wish to speak on this item, either here in council chambers, move towards the podium, or online, indicate in the chat box or by star 9 if you're on your phone, and we'll call upon you. There we go. I knew somebody had to get up.
Good evening.
Please start with name and address for the record.
Yes, my name is Steve Brum. I'm the Regional Vice President for Ecology for the Pacific Northwest. My office is located at 801 South Dakota Street in Seattle. So, Mayor, following councilors, good evening and thank you once again for inviting us back. On behalf of Ecology's employee owners, we remain honored the city's considering us for the opportunity to serve the city's residents and businesses for the next 12 years and share in our world, in our vision for a world without waste. So although our company is a new face for here for the city of North Bend, we're not new to the industry, we're not new to King County. What we will bring to the city of North Bend is what we believe is the best value in our industry in this area and the local management team with hundreds of years of industry experience. So 11 cities in King County already recognize our value with long-term contracts. And we've, over the past 15 years, we've implemented many new contracts with seamless transitions, and we would intend to do the same here. Recology is a 100% employee-owned company, and we've been around for over 100 years. Our ownership culture will drive a strong commitment to service quality here in the city of North Bend, and being employee-owned enables us to make local decisions for our local city relationships and have the citizens' best interests in heart. Every Recology employee owner understands what's at stake as an owner of this company. And we believe Recology is a different kind of partner for this city. Our relationships with our cities are not something we ever take for granted. We focus on doing what is best for the community. We collaborate and get creative with our municipal partners to go beyond what is required on paper. Our goal is to make each and every one of your residents and businesses a satisfied customer. So thank you once again for inviting us here tonight, and we'd be happy to answer any questions any of you would have. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else here in chambers?
Good evening. Anthony Mercado, General Manager of Ecology King County. My address, my office is 801 South Devalva Street in Seattle. Good evening, Reverend Farley, council members. Thank you for the privilege of your time tonight. All of Ecology is absolutely ecstatic at this opportunity. Our operations team, our customer service team, are all ready to build out an implementation and service plan for the city of North Bend. April 2024 will be here at the link, and we're in a position to be ready for you all. Equally as important, we're excited to join your community as partners. There was a discussion a couple weeks ago about Recology's brand matching closely or aligning closely with the city's values. This was a meaningful statement to me because for our employee owners, for me, the cities we service and operate in are a major source of pride. We have drivers that boast and are excited about the fact that they get to operate and collect in the city and potentially retire there. It's a huge source of pride for our team. Our goal is to bring that same sense of enthusiasm and dedication to your community and of North Bend, and to exceed your expectations in quality of service, and to exceed your expectations of what it means to have a true partner in solid waste and recycling service provider. Again, thank you for your consideration, and we wholeheartedly look forward to building a long-standing partnership with you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council. I'll try to keep it brief tonight. Again, my name is Logan Harvey. I'm the Government Community Relations Manager for Ecology of King County. As my colleagues have stated, we're extremely excited to have the potential for council to pass this tonight and then select Ecology for a 12-year partnership. I'm the primary contact with all of our cities, and I promise to bring that kind of personal touch and personal feel to that relationship and that partnership going forward. Our outreach team is really excited to get their hands on the city and start reaching out to your businesses, helping them divert material out of landfill into recycling and compost streams. And we really think we'll be the best company to push you forward and move towards those diversion goals. I really want to thank staff and your consultant group for this process and council for your careful consideration. We really look forward to getting started here. And by the time this contract comes about and we're implementing the city, we'll have the experience of rolling out a new contract in the city of Issaquah, a brand new city in the city of Tukwila, and the city of Des Moines. So we'll be a very experienced team to make sure this is a nice, smooth landing for the city of North Bend. So thank you for your time, and I look forward to the discussion.
Thank you. Not seeing anyone else moving in chambers. Do we have anyone online?
Jason Rich.
Hey, can you hear me?
You can. Please start name and address for the record.
This is Jason Ritchie. Address is 2802 South 16th Street. Just a quick statement on solid waste as well as on the, my understanding is an updated contract that's been sent to the city by Salau. Just urge the city, I believe that that is the intent tonight with solid waste, but I just urge the city on both matters to not move hastily, but move with haste, and continue to move both of these items forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Free, anyone else?
No one else.
All right, thank you. With that, I think I'll turn my attention to Mr. Loudenberg.
For a motion, Your Honor?
For a motion.
First, I'd like to mention before making the motion that the print packet is incorrect, and this is AB 23-043, not -038. So with that noted as a Scrivener's error, we'll move forward. Motion to approve AB 23-043, authorizing the mayor to enter into and execute a 12-year comprehensive garbage, recyclables, and compostables collection services contract with Recology King County Incorporated for the period of April 1, 2024 through March 31, 2036, in a form and content approved by the city attorney as a final reading.
Thank you, Mr. Bodenbeck. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Colon. Mr. Lodenbeck, anything further to add?
No, Your Honor. I made my views known in the last meeting, and I'll be voting similarly tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Colon.
I believe Recology is going to be great for our city, and I did want to note to our citizens that although the rates will be going up with Recology, had we did a contract with any other waste management, their rates would have gone up as well. So it's not fair to think that the rates would have stayed the same as they are right now, moving forward into 2024. That's it, Your Honor.
Thank you. Council? Yes. Seeing none, I have. Oh,
yep.
Yeah. Mr. Rose.
Thank you. Yeah, I will second what Heather said. Regardless of which contract we selected, the rates were going to go up by a substantial amount. I believe in the end that Recology is the better choice of the two. It better aligns with our values in North Bend and our citizens' desire to see a greener approach to refuge disposal. With that being said, and I do support this because it needs to be done and it is the better of the two, I will express my concern about not doing everything in our power to reduce the cost of this contract by not reducing the administrative or 7.5% tax that I don't believe is appropriate, and I wish we would not have done that. With that being said, the contract must go forward. This is about garbage and not that. That is a smaller item. I will be supporting that, but I also we'll bring this back at some point in the near future, because I believe when our citizens see the first bill, like my wife and others, they're going to flip. And I apologize. I wish there was something we could do on a larger scale to reduce the cost, but there are things we could do to bring the cost down on a smaller scale, and I hope in the future we would reconsider that. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Johnson.
I'm very excited. I see it as a great opportunity. I would hope the community might come together and see this as an opportunity to do better. Looking at the statistics in terms of waste generation from North Bend, and as Jeff, the consultant, mentioned, I believe, last meeting, rates are elastic. Folks have some opportunity to downsize and generate less waste. I am impressed that the representation here tonight from the new provider, I hope I will be voting in favor. That speaks loudly to me, and I think there is opportunities to move this together and set a standard that does align with the city's mission and values, and the things come at a cost. The planet is suffering. It takes effort and focus to make a difference, and this is the smallest of things, and it might cost a little bit more. I would point out, as did Council Member Coleman, for an average person like me, looking at what I know, my rates under this contract as opposed to the competitor will be less than they would have been under that other contract. So you do need to look closely. As has been stated, the rates are going to nearly double regardless of the decision made by council, and this is, I think, is a very positive step in a new direction for us, and I hope that we can rally around it and feel like we, you know, are moving in a good direction together. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Seeing no other, motion before you is to approve AB 23043, authorizing the mayor to enter into and execute a 12-year comprehensive garbage, recyclables, and compostables collection services contract with Recology King County, Inc. for the period of April 1, 2024 through March 31, 2036 in a form and content approved by the city attorney as a final reading. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
Nay.
The ayes have it, 5-2, with Council Member Lamabach and GopHealth voting against. Thank you very much for that. Moving on, next item on our agenda is item number 10. This is an ordinance adopting North Bend Municipal Code 9.190.020. Vehicle trespass. Captain Lynch, I believe you are going to introduce this item.
Good evening, Mayor and Council Members. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to come talk about
it. Just a second, let's make sure we have that mic on.
Is it on?
Okay, thank you.
Anyway, like I was saying, thank you for giving me the opportunity to come talk about something that I'm pretty passionate about, and that's the ability to put bad guys in jail and hold them accountable for when they violate our laws and victimize our citizens. I have identified a hole in the municipal code and the RCW of the state of Washington that is allowing some of these criminals to commit crimes against our citizens and then go without penalty. To the first slide there. We're going to be talking about the stolen vehicle epidemic that's going on in Washington State right now. When I made this slideshow and pulled these stats, the state stats have been compiled through the end of November of last year. So in 2022, from January to the end of November, 41,330 cars were lost, stolen in the state, which comes out to about 132 a day. There are different reasons for the spike, and it's been going up each year over the last 4 or 5 years. We can go to the next slide. Potential reasons for this spike. In 2020, there were no property crimes that were allowed to be booked into the King County Jail or to municipal jails. They were for mandatory crimes against persons only. So those that were out committing those crimes were going without any jail time whatsoever. The police reform laws in 2021 prohibiting the law enforcement's ability to pursue stolen vehicles. Stolen vehicles and the possession of stolen vehicle is not one of the laws that we are allowed by state law to pursue. There are many times where we get behind cars and we hit our red and blue lights and they just take off. Criminals are taking advantage of the defunded, demoralized, and understaffed police departments. And the restrictive filing standards by the King County Prosecutor's Office. And I'm not here to dump on the King County Prosecutor's Office. There are reasons why they have to be restrictive in their filing standards, and I'll explain a little bit of that. On the next slide, it shows you the letter of the law that we have on the books in the RCW.
Slide.
For possession of stolen vehicle. And you'll notice in there that there's only one thing that we have to prove for you to be guilty, is that you possess a stolen vehicle in the state of Washington. It's a Class B felony. And a quick lesson on the levels of crimes. There's three levels of felonies. There are A, B, and C. There is no possession of stolen vehicle misdemeanor law. So we are putting cases to the King County Prosecutor's Office when we are lucky enough to find somebody in a stolen car that doesn't run from us, and we are able to make the arrest. And go to the next slide. The times that we do, we get things back like this. And this is an actual D-flying letter from the King County Prosecutor's Office. And you can see in the first paragraph, it says to convict the suspect. Now there's not just one burden of proof, there are four. And law enforcement does a good job of, number one, did the suspect possess a stolen vehicle? We do a great job of number three, that the suspect withhold or appropriate the vehicle from the true owner. And a great job of number four, did it occur in Washington State? It's number two that we have a difficulty with the King County Prosecutor's Office, because there is a standard that they have set that if you are in possession of a stolen vehicle, you have not damaged the ignition, and you don't have a flathead screwdriver sticking out at your key, then in the eyes of the King County Prosecutor's Office, we cannot prove that they had knowledge that the car was stolen. So for the people that go out to their driveways in the morning during the winter to defrost their cars, and they think, oh, it's just North Bend, I can let it run, and it'll be warm when I come out, and the car is gone, the keys were in the car. And now we make that car stolen. We are lucky enough to find somebody sleeping in it, or they just decide to pull over for some odd reason when we go to stop them. We arrest them. We put them in jail. They're released immediately because it's a property crime. And we file with the King County Prosecutor's Office. And under those circumstances that I've explained to you, we will get a decline back saying that they are not filing criminal charges. Let me go to the next slide for the first thing. To illustrate how many stolen vehicles that we are recovering, stolen vehicles that we are losing, over the last couple of years, you can see the numbers have gone up. In North Bend in 2021, we lost 20 and we recovered 20. It's a little bit confusing the way that I have this, and I've had questions about this with people that have seen this slide. It doesn't mean that we recovered those 20. It means we recovered 20 that were stolen, maybe in North Bend, maybe in Snoqualmie, maybe in Seattle, and they just end up here. So the numbers jumped in 2022 to 28 stolen and 32 recovered. Let me go to the next one, and I'll show you the numbers of declines. That these numbers here indicate people that have stolen a car or been in possession of a stolen vehicle. And we identified them, and we tried to hold them accountable, and the King County Prosecutor's Office said no. And you can see the jump in 2021 from 2 to 7. And when I made this slide in January of this year, we've had 3. We will have plenty more. It takes about 8 to 9 months for our cases to go through a review process at the King County Prosecutor's Office. So we will be getting 2022 declines well into 2023, so those numbers will go up. It's not a huge amount of our citizens that are affected by this, but it's not important until you're one of those numbers and the victim is powerless over holding the person accountable that committed this crime. The ordinance, the way that it's written, you can go to the next slide, Reed. The ordinance, the way that it's written, also addresses another hole in the RCWs and the city code. Right now, if someone goes and walks down a street in a neighborhood in North Bend in the middle of the night, and we are lucky enough to have a citizen look out the window and see somebody going and trying doors on cars, and they are all locked, and the suspect does not make entry into the car, and we get there because they called 911 and we're able to detain them. Once we find out that they did not make entry into the vehicles, we let them go. There is no law against that. They've taken a substantial step to create a crime and create victims, because if the people didn't lock their cars, they would have been in it, and then it would have been a car problem. The way that this ordinance is written, it adds 3 words that says attempts to. You can go to the next slide and you can look at the actual ordinance. A person is guilty of vehicle trespass if he or she knowingly enters, attempts to enter, or remain lawfully in a vehicle that belongs to another. And in researching this, there are several different agencies that have similar ordinances. I spoke to the prosecutors at the city of Auburn, the city of Renton, and the city of Issaquah specifically. Renton added the 3 words of attempts to enter because of the attempted car crash. And they are able to use that. Their prosecutor trains their police department that they can use this ordinance if they can prove and have a witness statement saying that they tried doors on 2 or 3 cars or more. That way the defense of I went to the wrong car, I was looking for my own, doesn't work. In the criminal world, they talk and they know that they can go commit crimes where there are holes in the laws and where the police department won't be able to hold them accountable. They also talk, and I don't know if it's a criminal newsletter or what, but we hear it a lot that, you know, you don't want to come to North Bend or Snoqualmie because we will put you in jail if we find you. We still book people into jail when you commit crimes. Not everybody does that. If this ordinance is approved and we start using it, the word will get out that you don't want to go car prowling in North Bend because you will be put in jail and you will be held accountable. I do believe that over the last few years, victims in King County have lost a voice. They've lost a seat at the table, and the rights, a lot of times, of the offenders are put above the rights of the victims. And this would give us one more tool in our box to hold the people accountable that victimize our citizens. And as a citizen of North Bend myself, I want my police department putting bad guys in jail and deterring crime. So that's what I'm here to ask today, that you guys take a look at this, and I'm more than welcome to answer any questions. One thing I do want to, before I leave, those 3 departments that I talked to and their prosecutors have received 0 pushback and appeals of this ordinance that they've used over the last 3 or 4 years, because it is at the misdemeanor level and not the gross misdemeanor level, and it aligns closely to the way that the criminal trespass second degree is written, which is a misdemeanor. So it was their opinion that as long as we kept it at a misdemeanor level, then, you know, legally standing, that they were fine. So I'm here to answer any questions that you might have. I just really appreciate your support on this.
Thank you, Captain. Hold on there a second. Let's see if council has any clarifying questions before we move to the public. I see first Ms. Cullen and Mr. Johnson.
Do the other Valley cities have this ordinance in place? And if so, who?
Issaquah has it, and they've had it since November of last year. I've been presenting this at the same time. I came to public safety here, and then I went to Snoqualmie Public Safety, so they've been running parallel. And last Monday, the city of Snoqualmie, they passed it as well. So you guys would have been first, but the schedule has been a little bit rough for the amount of things on your agenda, so had to be pushed back a little bit.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Johnson.
Asked and answered. Thank you very much.
Good. Mr. Gatto?
And helping with making sure you don't have different rules and regulations between City of Snoqualmie and City of North Bend. Is this something that is before the Council and City of Snoqualmie? Or is it already passed down?
Oh, is it passed?
I'm sorry, it passed on Monday of last week.
Awesome. Yes? Ms. Miller?
Quick question. Captain, is this something that's going forward towards Carnation and down further in the Valley Cities?
Carnation's a different beast because they are they're a contract with King County, so it would have to be a county ordinance that would bring that.
Thank you. I actually knew that. Thank you very much.
Scott.
Since I guess it was a remnant that did it before, had they, being King County, have they been able to get things prosecuted through King County?
No, we're all in the same boat with that, and that's why Renton brought this misdemeanor level. So they're doing it through the Renton Municipal Court, as we would be putting our charges on if we use this ordinance. They would go through the Issaquah Municipal Court at the misdemeanor level.
Mr. Rosen.
Is there anything we can do with the car theft level to get it to go through the municipal courts since... Obviously, King County won't really prosecute car thefts anymore.
We are getting cases where, if we find somebody in a stolen car, and beyond a reasonable doubt, we can prove that they knew it was stolen, or should have known that it was stolen, those are still getting filed. I think a lot of this comes from, there's not just one reason why the King County Prosecutor's Office has put these restrictions on there. They are overworked, there's not enough prosecutors, the cases are stacked up and have been for the last 2 years, 3 years now since COVID. And another big thing is, I'm not sure if you're aware of the Gantt case that basically legalized any drugs possession in the state of Washington. That was the same. You had to prove knowledge that they knew the drugs were in their pocket, that they could use the "these are not my pants" defense, and you couldn't, it was unconstitutional to hold them accountable. The county prosecutor's office has gone the same way with possession of stolen vehicles. So I think it's more of a systemic issue with the state. It's not one issue, it's just a bunch of different things that have come with a perfect storm where criminals are emboldened and they don't fear any prosecution.
Right. This might sound like an odd question, and forgive me for not knowing the law perfectly well. If we made car theft a misdemeanor in North Bend, could we not prosecute that and at least lock them up for 90 days?
We could. However, the ones that we can prove are stolen, they're still getting prosecuted. The ones that are not are the ones where we can't prove that they had knowledge. This would end up holding them accountable for that. It's just a different wording of the law. I don't think we would need to double up on a different misdemeanor law when being in...
This will cover that.
This will cover that.
Okay.
You are in a stolen vehicle. That's all you need to prove for this.
Got it. Thank you. That answered my question. Appreciate it.
Anyone else? Mr. Johnson.
I just wanted to be clear that so King County is actually prosecuting car thefts. Is that true?
It would have to be a Loctite case for them to take it.
Yes, but they are taking some.
Yes, but it's very difficult to actually prove that the person in the car stole it. There, it's easier to prove that they are in possession of a stolen vehicle. So that's what most of the suspects are getting charged with.
I understand. I appreciate your efforts on this. I'll be supporting it. I just think our use of language here is important. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We have no more questions. We'll turn to the public. You're a member of the public either here in council chambers or online would like to speak on this agenda item. Please move to the podium or indicate in the chat box or by *9. Seeing no one moving in chambers, Bree, do we have anyone online?
No one online.
Thank you. Mr. Rosen, I believe this came through in your committee.
Can you see it on the wrong page in my half?
189.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. Motion to approve AB 23043, an ordinance adopting North Bend Municipal Code Section 9.190.2020, vehicle trespass as a first and final reading.
Just a moment, Your Honor.
Just a moment. I've got the motion and the second and the same question. We've got a duplication of the AB.
Yes, it's 4-4 for Mr. Rosen.
Thank you.
Clerk, are we on track with that? Mm-hmm. All right. Mr. Rosen, you accept that your motion was for approval of AB 23-044?
Yes, I did.
And the second came from?
Yes, I did.
Mr. Godhill, thank you very much. All right, Mr. Rosen, anything to say to this?
No, I appreciate the presentation tonight. Thank you very much, and hopefully we'll give you the tools that you need to do your job. So thank you for your efforts.
Thank you. Mr. Godhill?
I want to thank you guys for bringing this forward. We've had a couple of discussions in the public safety about this, and I know it's important to move forward. So thank you for your efforts.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing none, the motion before you is to approve AB 23-044, an ordinance adopting North Bend Municipal Code Section 9.190.020, vehicle trespass, as a first and final reading. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries and it is unanimous. Council will now be returning to what is now main agenda item 11. This is AB 23-039. This is a motion approving the comp plan docket list and calendar extension. Ms. Stemming.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The 2023-2024 docket recommendations are different than previous years. With the start of the 2024 land use and housing element comprehensive plan updates, we are required to reach out to the public early and often for amendment requests. One of those ways is to obtain public input into the docket process. Approval of this list does not approve the changes, but moves them to be a part of considered options as we have work studies, open houses, and public hearings to discuss possible changes. Additionally, appreciate the approval of this docket does not mean the council supports the changes, only that we are taking them into consideration. After council approval of the docket, if approved, these items will return to Planning Commission for those public hearings and eventually a recommendation to council. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know where my head is tonight, but I've lost track of... Do we have any questions for Mr. Elwood?
Thank you. So this docket came to CED on two different occasions, and I just want to clarify the process here, because I went back and looked at my notes this evening, and the first time that we met on this in February, we had talked about staff bringing docket specifically for some of the zoning changes, the comprehensive plan update considerations, back to work study. And there were, I have other notes in here that was talking about even bringing back history on some of these repeat items after our field trip. Then we fast forward to the March meeting, and unfortunately my notes are less clear as to why we went ahead to move this on consent agenda, but my recollection is that we were going to have more of more talk on it from the council level, but also from the Planning Commission, they would be informed of the history of certain items on here. So I'm just trying to understand the clarification, if you could clarify why, because I can't recall, why we had it on two back-to-back CEP meetings. One, the direction was bring the work study. The second, and I apologize, I don't have it in my notes, why we brought it into consent agenda on this meeting. I just can't recall.
Yes, the reason that it was continued to the next meeting, I brought it back to make it clear on the process. We do have a planned work study for land use changes, but we need the approved docket to do that research, to get it all together, to cover staff time, to bring that back to a work study. So yes, we will have a work study on all land use changes, all land use, you know, things that we will do as part of the comp plan update. Get a general direction from council, then have public meetings and get planning commission meetings with a final recommendation back. So there is plan for work study, but it was misunderstood, and I brought it back to make clear that we needed the docket to do that work.
Thank you for the refreshment.
Clarifying question. When a property owner comes forward with a request to be placed out on a docket, what obligation does the city have under that request, and how timely a fashion?
In normal years, there's absolutely no obligation. The obligation is now is that we're in a comp plan update year, and we are required to solicit public input into changes in our comp plan update.
And once you receive input, what action are you then obligated to take as a result?
No obligation. The Planning Commission can recommend what they believe
Once you've solicited input, and so someone has come forward and said, place this on the docket.
Yes.
The city can't just say, go home. The city has to honor that request to place that on the docket. Am I not correct?
In normal years, you do not have to approve docket requests. You can send them back to applicants and have them pay a fee and process it through a regular application process. Because this is a special year and we're doing a comp plan update, we believe that really we need to approve this because it's part of the public outreach process.
I believe she's agreeing with your statement. Mr. Gatto.
For the clarification, because I know in the past we've had this, what you're saying is the reason you're putting this on is because it's a comprehensive plan update. I know in the past it's been brought before the council so that we don't put the Planning Commission through actions that the council is not going to move forward or agree. And there are several items on here that have come before us that have been turned down by this council. So my question is, so you're saying because of this year, we have to have it before we discuss it to bring forward to the Planning Commission?
Because we already have a scheduled periodic update of the chapter. So it's already something we're going to review, and we have to solicit input on the changes.
But this is a docket for moving forward to the Planning Commission without the council weighing in.
As part of the comprehensive update.
And that is a legal requirement that we have.
We are required every 10 years to update our comprehensive plan. We're in the 10-year periodic review, and we are required to do that by the end of next year.
So legally, we have to take every item that somebody brings forward to the Planning Commission docket. Is that what you're saying?
In a way, yes. We need to take public input into the future and vision of our comprehensive plan. This is one of the ways we're doing that. We could have more people come forward through public hearings and request changes. It's still our obligation to consider those requests and changes in the process of a periodic update. You do not need to do that in any other year unless you would like to see an update to the plan. But in this next 2 years, we have to bring updates to our comprehensive plan forward.
Seems like a heck of a loophole to have people who have brought this forward before to come in without having to submit full of their paperwork.
Full of information. Isn't this clarifying questions?
Yes, sorry.
Thank you.
Just to be devil's advocate, what would happen if we didn't?
That sounds like a question for Lisa
Marshall.
Yes, probably Lisa.
Can you repeat the question, please?
It's a simple but a devil's advocate question. Is what would happen if we did nothing and didn't move this forward to planning commission or anything else?
Well, my understanding from Rebecca's explanation is this year we're legally required to.
Just want to be clear on that. Thank you.
Is that your understanding?
It is.
Okay. That we are legally required.
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Rosen, you have
a question. Yeah. Rebecca, in addition to that, we also usually attach recommend the city and staff recommends or does not recommend with most of these applications. That's how we're doing it here as well. So there is an opportunity for the city to say, we do not recommend Planning Commission pass this. And we do apply that to most docket requests, if I'm correct.
That is still correct. When we bring this opportunity forward, when we do the research, staff will make a recommendation on land use changes, and it may or may not include these. We, until you approve this, we haven't started our research, our history, and preparing that information that will come back.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Elwood.
One point of clarification. So based on the timeline that I just articulated from my scrap notes and your recollection, thank you for that. There are particular comp plan updates that have a history of revisiting through time. Will those go to work study prior to planning commission?
Yes, we are planning on having a council work study to discuss the general direction of the land use plan and zoning. So yes, our plan is to bring it to council to get the initial feedback before we go to the rest of the public and planning commission.
Has that been scheduled yet, or is it just to be scheduled if the process coming?
We have we're expecting it.
Let me step in. We can't schedule something that hasn't been decided. I got to say
that's fine. I'm just asking counter questions, clarification.
I just got to say that I'm a little disturbed that there's some conversation that it might be giving the public the impression that you're trying to remove public input prior to the process for evaluation, that the Planning Commission is, by state law, responsible for. And I know that is not your intent. And so I'm making that statement so that the public's hearing that is not the intent of the conversation. And so I appreciate that, but I am also cautioning that could be the interpretation. Any other clarifying questions? Mr. Godd.
Is this something that needs to be presented, done today on it, or is this something that could further discussion? And what you're saying, what you're saying is there's nothing we can discuss on this until you move it forward.
You can discuss you can add or remove any of the 2023 code amendments that you would not like to see in this year that staff is recommending. But removing the actual comp plan updates, again, as we said, we don't believe that should be done in order to meet the public input requirements.
All right, I think we've exhausted that. I don't think we have any member of the public in chambers wishing to speak since we're now empty. Do we have anyone online?
No one online.
Thank you. Councilmember Miller, I believe this came through your committee.
Yes, sir. We did.
Make a motion, please.
I would definitely like to. Okay, motion to approve AB 23-039. That's correct still. Approving docket for initiation of 2023 code amendments and 2024 comprehensive plan update and extension for completion of docketed items until December 31st, 2024.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Rosa. I have a second. Ms. Miller, anything to add?
I don't think I have anything more to add. I feel that it's following the protocol of what's necessary to move this forward. Thank you.
Mr. Rosen. Yes, I asked to have this pulled, and I'll explain why. Page 13 of the packet, and this is what I do wish to draw attention to, is the staff recommendation for approval or for consideration of several items. Sellers, the Yee, Torgerson, Wersch, and I believe Johnson topic requests. All of these run contrary to past positions of council and votes of council, some as recently as only 2 years ago. These are looking, most of these are looking at increased density and growth in areas that we've discussed not having that. The reason I want to talk about this tonight is I want to draw attention to it, and I hope that, Rebecca, you could do us a favor when you present this to the Planning Commission, that you can also represent to some of the council's concerns with these in the presentation, because I believe some of these run contrary to things in the past that the council has approved. Let me break them down a little bit. The Yee application, I believe, is for residential housing on the western part of town. That only 2 years ago was discussed at length by the council, and the council asked to not have residential out there. So I was surprised to see the staff is recommending that approve that go forward. As I said, you have the option to approve, to recommend or not recommend. So I was very surprised to see a recommendation on that. I believe putting residential out there would dramatically alter the appearance of the western part of town, which I think is probably one of the nicest vistas that we have. Next, Mr. Wersch's property. You guys knocked yourself out on that one. That's we've beaten that one to death many, many times. But if we want to go down that path again, I guess that's the administration's recommendation here, it appears. There may be some clarification.
I want to make sure of clarifying, because I don't think you're seeing this as a staff recommendation to approve any of those four items.
This staff recommendation to place it on the docket.
To place
that
it on
is correct. And you could put a recommendation not to. And that's why I asked that clarifying question earlier. The other three I'd like to talk about is Torgerson, Sellers, and Johnson. They're all in the same area, roughly around near the roundabout, the Les Schwab area. I would ask that we do not piecemeal that area. I think council has struggled repeatedly to try to come up with a zone there that works for everyone. But I believe piecemealing it parcel by parcel is probably not the best approach. I would like to see the council come up with a cohesive zone and sort that out this year. I believe if we start doing piecemeal, you'll find that it'll be a domino effect. So that is also something I want to make public. Those are the main issues that I have with it. I hope that you can convey that to the Planning Commission when you make your presentation, that there are some dissensions here on that. And that really was the intent of me having this brought up tonight, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. Rosen. Mr. Owen.
Thank you, and I'm glad we're having this discussion, knowing that these items will come back to work study and that you needed to get our blessing in order to move forward to do anything on that. So thent you for pulling it from consent so we could have a say. I did have a question on the summary statement. We have 2024 comprehensive plan update consideration. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 items, and I'd like to call your attention to Deborah Johnson. This could just be simply me missing something. When I read down into the section, page 13, I think it was, that Mr. Rosen was referencing, I do not see the fourth item, the Deborah Johnson, East North Fenway, parcels 10-2308-954-1148. LDR to DC desired for mixed use. I do not see those on page 13.
That is correct. Staff mistakenly left it off, my understanding. I missed the first CED meeting that it was brought to CED. That it was an original request that came in on time.
but staff mistakenly left it off the list from which planning commission. So it is on this because it did come in at the appropriate time within the deadline requirement of the docket process.
And it is still part of consideration?
Yes, it is still part of council consideration. Probably.
Thank you.
So let me clarify that with legal and the clerk. As Mr. Elwood's pointing out, that is not part of what's in front of us, though, this evening.
It is. It's not in the planning commission staff report, but it is in the council recommendation.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. All right. The motion before you is to approve AD 23-039, approving the docket for initiation of the 2023 code amendments and the 2024 comprehensive plan update. An extension for completion of docketed items until December 31st, 2024. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
Motion carries. Nay, Mr. Gatta. Thank you very much. And with that, I believe we've reached the end of our regular agenda. We'll move on to Mayor, Council, and Administrator Concerns and Initiatives. Mr. Godfrey.
This is my normal provision of hoping and stuff. The daylight stay longer, people out of the streets, be careful to watch as you drive through our neighborhoods while your kids enjoy the longer spring days, and hopefully we'll get some summer weather at some point. At least some spring weather above 50 degrees.
July 5th.
Yeah. Yes.
Ms. Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let's see, for those who aren't quite aware, this Thursday at 7 p.m. at the Interpretive Center in Meadowbrook, free to all and open to the public is going to be the speaker, Harold Aaron from Elk Management. I think this is a wonderful opportunity for people in the community, whether you've lived here your entire life or you're new, to get to meet a gentleman who has a wealth of knowledge about our herds of elk that have grown across time. We have about 450 right now. But if you feel like you want to get out and listen to something new and learn something about your community and these animals that are part of it, I urge you to go check that out. So other than that, happy Easter to those who celebrate.
Thank you, Mr. Elwood.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just like to make a call out to Valley Center Stage. This April will be a comedy month. The first of which will be a stage reading, Steve Martin month, apparently. The first one will be on April 8th at 7:30 at the Salal Grange. And it's Steve Martin, The Underpants, the stage reading. Then the following weekend we'll open up with a full play by Steve Martin called Picasso de la Palma Gil, which the summary statement of that is Picasso and Einstein go into a pub in Paris, France, called La Panagile, and they have a duel to determine whose interpretation of the universe is better, the equation or the art. It's a very Steve Martin comedy, so very intellectual and witty. But come check that out. That's the last three weekends in April at the Grange. Thank you.
I just wanted to thank all those involved in the presentation to Mr. Krebs this evening. I was actually moved and learned some things, and what a wonderful history, and we can all only hope maybe for 65 years of happy marriage. So thanks for that. It was a real morning.
Thank you. Mr. Lovebeth.
Nothing tonight, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Rosen.
I just want to thank the citizens for their communication and input on some of the issues that we've talked about tonight. Water is always, I'm sure all of us take the time to read them, and we appreciate the input, and these are difficult decisions that we're wrestling with, but we do like hearing from you, so thank you.
And Mayor Pro Tem Cohen.
Nothing tonight.
Very much. Well, I'd have to echo the appreciation for more daylight, and I did arrive to snow in our beautiful area, and that was a little bit disturbing to me, including this morning. I had a little bit of snow, so at any rate, In addition to that, City of Snow Kwame will be hosting community emergency response team CERT training courses for four consecutive Saturdays starting on April 15th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Snoqualmie Fire Station. Any residents interested in attending are encouraged to call 425-888-5911. I think the clerk stuck that in there to see if I'd read about the Snoqualmie. Sure. The city, in conjunction with the Snoqualmie tribe, will be holding a special recycling event on Saturday, April 29th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Snoqualmie Middle School. The event is open to all King County residents wishing to dispose of scrap metal, appliances, electronics, fluorescent bulbs, tires, and batteries. North Bend Jazz Walk will be held starting at 6 p.m. to midnight on Saturday, April 22nd in downtown North Bend. The event features 18 different venues playing a fantastic selection of jazz music. For information about the event, including how to purchase tickets, is available by visiting the community calendar on the city website. If you somehow don't know about Jazz Walk or its companion Blues Walk in the fall, I would suggest you avail yourself of the event. They are fantastic. In honor of Earth Day, the city invites community members to join us for our third year of North Bend Beautification Days on April 21st and 22nd. For more information about this event, available for visiting on the community calendar, city website. And I'll mention that I saw today at least one HOA is joining the city and doing a neighborhood-wide cleanup on their own to match us. So I would encourage other HOAs to look at that. Starting Monday, April 10th, Washington State Department of Transportation, WashDOT, will begin the round two of multi-day lane reductions on Interstate 90 between the Preston Interchange and Southeast 82nd Street and Highlands Drive in Issaquah. These closures will involve full 24/7 lane closures. There will also be two eastbound lane reductions. To find out more about the project, including a link to the WashDOT project overview, please look at the news section of the city's website. Why do we bring something up for Issaquah? Because it's going to affect every person trying to travel west. Finally, Council, I know this isn't on your mind. Saturday, you have, this is your reminder that you have council retreat at Camp Foxwoods. City clerk's already emailed you more information about this event. I hope you all have a great day. And with that, let's entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion is second. All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much.